It's good to ask questions. I think we need to be aware of that. And it's good to ask questions about the Bible. It's good to ask questions about who God is. It's great to ask questions about who God is, especially as it is a sign of an inquisitive mind and a mind that's seeking. One of the questions that I don't think occurred to me as much until I was older was, why was Lazarus resurrected? Why were any of the people in the New Testament resurrected? Because if you think about it, all those people that were resurrected were, and I'll use this term kind of in the large sense, they were good people, right? These are people that had lived their life with faith in God. And so at the earthly end of their lives, someone, be it Jesus or one of the apostles, whichever story you have in mind, raise that person back up to an earthly life. Now, in your mind, you're probably thinking, as I was, that person made it. They crossed the finish line. You know, in our mind, we're walking through this life, and I think sometimes we think of it as this tightrope that we're walking across. And as long as I don't fall off the tightrope and make it all the way to the other side, then mission accomplished. Success. So why would God take me from the other side and put me right back on that tightrope again? Where the potential is that some point until I have to die again, I might fall. Have you ever thought about that question? Like, why are people resurrected from the dead? Well, not to spoiler alert, Dan's class coming up in a few weeks. But if you will look with me in John chapter 11, John chapter 11. I don't know if this will be a perfect answer, but this is how I answered the question. John chapter 11, this is the account of Jesus going to Bethany because he has heard that Lazarus is sick. Now, obviously, as we can see from the story, Jesus delays a little bit going to the city. He could go to the city. He's been asked to come to the city, presumably to heal Lazarus from whatever affliction it is that he has. And when I'll say this, in verse one of this, we have in our minds, well, we get to the part where Lazarus has already died. We don't know what Lazarus has gone through to get to this point. Was this a prolonged illness? Was this a sudden illness? Whatever this affliction is. All it says in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 1 is, now a man was sick, and his name was Lazarus. And we know through reading the scripture that Lazarus is a good friend of Jesus. Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. And so Jesus is on his way to Bethany, and he gets word in verse 3, the sisters send a message to him, Lord, the one you love, and that is Lazarus, is sick. And verse 4 helps me to answer the question that I just posed to you. When Jesus heard it, he said, this sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now, if you've read ahead in the story, that may seem like a cryptic answer because Jesus said the sickness won't end in death. And yet Lazarus does actually die. He is dead when Jesus finally makes his way to him. But I want you to focus in particular on the last part of that statement. The sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. I want to look at this on multiple levels. First of all, we've talked about, if you've been in our adult class on Sunday mornings, we've talked about what John is doing with this book and how he doesn't recount everything that Jesus does. He recounts certain things that Jesus did in order to make a point. And among those things are seven what we have called signs. And as we've said over the past couple of weeks, signs always point to something. In particular, the signs that John uses, turning the water to wine, walking on the water, multiplying the loaves and the fishes, all of those grand miracles that we read about that John gives us are all meant to point back to the Son, Jesus, to show that he is who he says he is. And he has made no bones about it in the book of John that he is the Son of God. And all those signs are like big flashing neon signs pointing to that fact that he is the Son of God and has come down from the Father to accomplish the Father's will. So that is certainly happening in this. Jesus can raise people from the dead because he is the Son of God. And God has given him that authority. But there are other people who have had that authority too, aren't there? We see Elijah, we see Elisha. We will later on see Paul and others raising people from the dead. But I want to focus on this particular part of the verse. It is for the glory of God. Now, Jesus certainly understands this. Jesus is the Son of God. Everything he does is meant for God's glory. I had a whole other Lord's Supper talk prepared on this, that all Jesus ever did was help, and help in particular for people to see God, see the glory of God. So forthcoming. But look at this from Lazarus' perspective. And it's the perspective that I just kind of asked that question through. If I made it to the end of my life, I am just waiting for glory. I'm waiting for eternal glory. I'm just waiting for the Son to come into his own and to return and to raise all the glorified dead. Why are you bringing me back to a world of pain, to a world that has sickness and sin, and where I might sin and I might slip and I might fall away? I think someone, and I'm speculating a little bit, but I think someone like Lazarus would come to understand that me being resurrected from the dead, if through my resurrection, my return to this earth, Jesus can be glorified, I will be resurrected 100 times over. Because my resurrection is a sign. He is using me in whatever capacity I can. He's using me to point back to himself and who he is and to glorify him. And so everything we do, both in this life, after this life, and in the next life, is all meant to point back to the glory of God. And that's why, in my mind, that's how I answer that question. Why were people resurrected from the dead? And it is for God's glory, both in the act itself, but also in the testimony of those who have been raised. What better testimony from someone who has spiritually died and been resurrected than someone who has physically died and been resurrected? Would someone who has gone through that physical death and resurrection not understand the concept of spiritual death and resurrection better than anyone than to have gone through that process and then can speak that to others? And so why did Lazarus have to be resurrected? For the glory of God. And so we now have this story of Lazarus that we can read, that John has provided for us. And we can glorify God because of Lazarus. What better testimony in a person's life than to play a role in that? Now, obviously, this needs to connect us to Jesus. And this needs to connect us to Jesus' death and resurrection. Not just in what he did in life, but what he did in death and new life. Because Jesus died, Jesus was resurrected. And I think what we often tend to think is that once Jesus was resurrected, that he was somehow untouchable, that he was not tempted any longer because he was some sort of new thing at that point. And I don't think that's the case. I think Jesus died as a man, and I think Jesus was resurrected as a man. And then he was glorified. He was raised and glorified. But there's a period of time there where Jesus is still walking the earth, a painful earth, a sinful earth, a tempting earth, as a man. And yet, because your will is accomplished, Father, not my will, man, you are glorified in man's sight. Yes, what Jesus did paid the ultimate price for our sin. But also what Jesus did helps us to come to know the Father even more. And so when we go back to the Old Testament, as we did in our high school class this morning, and we read God describing himself to Moses on the mountain, Yahweh, Yahweh, the God that is compassionate and loving and forgiving, and that will not leave the guilty unpunished, but is willing to forgive iniquity and sin. We come to know God through that description. We come to see God through what Jesus did and through that resurrection. Many people in our country today, and indeed all over the world, are going to think about Jesus' resurrection, and that is a good thing. There's no bones about that. But we need to see Jesus' resurrection not only as that was the key that opened the door for us. It certainly was. But it also glorified God. And that's what all of us were created to do. Isaiah 43. Man whom I have created for my glory. Now, each of us, if we have been baptized into Christ, we have died, and we have been resurrected. What was the purpose of that death and resurrection? I mean, once I've been resurrected from the water, my sins are washed away, but I might sin again, right? I'm still walking that tightrope. So what's the point? He is faithful to forgive. And in my life, such as the power is in me, from that point forward, my job is to glorify God in everything I do, in everything I say. And what better testimony than someone who has died and been resurrected to sin and death, ultimately, that gives glory to God. So that's what we consider then this morning. Not just, and I hesitate to even use the word just, but not just that Jesus died to forgive us of our sins, because he certainly did. John 3:16, God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten son so that by believing in him, you might have eternal life. Certainly, he saved us from our sins. But it is all to the glory of God. Let all you do in word and deed be done to the glory of God. So why are people resurrected? Why are people healed? Why do people walk? For the glory of God. Let's think about the glory of God this morning. Let's remember the glory of God this morning and remember what he's done for each of us, how he has resurrected us, and what the point of that resurrection is, both of his son and of us through his son. I'd invite you to think about that as we pray together. Let's pray for the cup, for the bread. Father, we come before you this morning and we give you thanks for Jesus. We give you thanks that he came to live among us, that he lived a human life, and that in all points he lived as we do, that he came and he experienced hunger and he experienced pain and he experienced sadness. And not that we rejoice in those things in and of themselves, but that he was willing to go through those things to show us your care for us. Father, as we partake of the bread and the cup this morning, we pray that we might remember him, that we might reflect on him and come to know him better, and through knowing him better, come to know you better. Father, thank you that he was willing to show us your compassion and your mercy and your grace and your forgiveness. And the fact that we experience those things, Father, give us a sense of gratitude. Help us to see, help us to know and to remember as we partake of the bread this morning. Help us to remember that his body that did experience that pain, that he put it through pain in order that we might be saved. We ask this in his name. Amen.